And we want to focus this morning on verses 14 through 17. On Sunday mornings, we take a portion of the passage that we're going to be looking at on Wednesday night, and we go into it in a little bit more detail. And so this is going to be our focus this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do love us, Lord. We don't understand it always, why that is. We can be so flaky. We can be such failures. But Lord, you are so gracious. And Lord, our desire is to be more like you. And so I pray, God, that as we look at your word this morning, that you would use it to minister to our hearts, to teach us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. It's a simple question. The question is this: what is your favorite fragrance? Now, maybe if you're a lady, there's a certain perfume that you just really, really like to wear. It just, you know, makes you feel beautiful when you wear that particular perfume. Maybe there's a certain favorite flower. You love the smell of fresh cut roses there in your house. Maybe it's the smell of a clean house, you know, after you have just, you know, cleaned and you've polished and you stand back and take a whiff and there's just, you know, kind of that smell, that clean, fresh house smell. And maybe you just really, really enjoy that. Maybe it's your favorite dessert. If you're my wife, it's, you know, a hot berry type of cobbler with vanilla ice cream, you know, coming hot, steaming there to the table. And she just loves that smell. Now, if you're a guy, maybe it's a thick, juicy steak that's been marinating all day long in some type of teriyaki sauce. And you come home and there it is. It's just grilling there on the barbecue and you just love and enjoy that smell. Maybe it's fresh baked chocolate chip cookies or brownies as you walk in the door and that aroma just hits you. And it's, you know, that just wonderful fragrance of fresh baked goods. We all have our favorite fragrances. Those things that we just love, that just kind of get our stomach going or get our heart racing. But we also have those fragrances that we don't like so much. Garlic breath is, you know, one of those fragrances that it's just kind of like, I could do without that. The smell of messy diapers. I mean, that's a fragrance that, you know, once your kids get out of diapers, it's like, praise the Lord. You know, you're just, you know, rejoicing. You don't have to deal with that anymore. The smell of rotten eggs is, you know, one that you just are find yourself, oh man, you know, what happened? Or sour milk in the refrigerator. You know, you open it up and it's like, oh, something died in there, you know. Yes, we all have those fragrances that we just enjoy so much. And then there are the ones that we don't enjoy at all. But have you ever thought about this? That your life is a fragrance? That you are a fragrance? Oh, it's true physically. There's a certain odor that emanates from every single one of us physically. There's an odor that comes there, you know, from your body that all of us have. In fact, did you know that blind people have such a strong sense of smell that if they're around a person long enough, they can discern when you come into a room because they know your smell. They know that fragrance. And so, you know, I might come in the room and this person knows, they know my smell. And it's like, oh, hi, Rob, how you doing? They didn't see me. They didn't hear me. But they could smell me as I, you know, walked in the door. As I walked in the room, you have a smell, a fragrance, an odor that emanates from your body physically. You have a specific odor. All of us do. It's true physically, but it's also true spiritually. Spiritually, you have a fragrance that is going to emanate from your life. But here's the thing, how you smell spiritually will depend upon your closeness to Christ. And that's what Paul talks about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Let's read this. Follow along as I read. He says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses or manifests the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Now here's the thing. Despite all of Paul's struggles and afflictions that he faced and encountered in ministry, in the midst of all of that, Paul saw the faithfulness of God there in his life. And in this section of Scripture, Paul gives this word of praise to the Lord who is faithful and who was manifested so clearly in his life, even in the most difficult of situations. And we're going to talk about on Wednesday night some of those situations, how as Paul wrote this letter, there were even those in Corinth who were maligning him. There were false accusations that were being spread about Paul. There were those who misunderstood him, and through all of this and all of the afflictions and all the trials and all the beatings that Paul went through, he shares here that God was faithful. Notice how he describes it there in verse 14. He says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." And I want you to underline that word always. Not sometimes. Not occasionally. Not when he feels like it, but he is always leading us in triumph. He is always leading us to victory. Here's the question, though. Do we want to be led? Do we want to be led? In every situation that you and I find ourselves going through, God is always available through his grace and by his strength to meet us in that time and lead us into victory if we allow him to lead us. And Paul says here that he's rejoicing in God and the fact that God was leading him, even in the midst of his difficulties, that God was leading his life and leading him into victory. And through it, in the midst of it all, God was manifesting the fragrance of Christ in and through Paul's life. Now, Paul's using a word picture here that comes right out of Roman life. You see, it was the custom of the Roman Empire when a conquering Roman general returned from a military campaign where he had victory over one of the enemies. As he would come home and they would see, you know, the victory that had been won and the enemy that had been conquered, the Roman Senate would gather together and they would meet and they would grant him a triumph, which was a victory parade. And it would be equivalent to, you know, kind of the Super Bowl parades that we see when a football team has won the Super Bowl. And the people gather together and they fill the streets and they're there to, you know, cheer on and to celebrate and rejoice in their team as they, you know, come home or as they've gathered or they've won this great victory. Well, that was the same kind of scene. People would fill the streets there. And as they were rejoicing, the conquering Roman general would ride through the streets of Rome in his chariot. And behind him would be the generals of his army and the captains and the commanders of his forces. And then there would be these servants who would follow behind, and they would carry with them these censers filled with perfumes and burning incense and other fine, you know, materials that just would send this great aroma into the air. And there would be this scent that would just fall on the crowd and fall on the ground. And then another thing they would do is they would line the pathway of the parade with all of these flowers, rose petals, and all these different flowers would be lined there on the road that they were going to be traveling on. So as they stepped on these flowers, as they stepped on these petals and they crushed them, the fragrance of that flower would be sent forth there into the air. And so you'd have the fragrance of the incense and the fragrance of the other things burning and the fragrance of the flowers that would just be all over, just emanating that parade route on the crowd. And it would be quite a contrast to the normal odor of the animals and that was just a part of life in Rome and life in Roman cities because, you know, they lived in such close and crowded quarters. Now, to those soldiers conquering soldiers, who had been out in the field for so long, battling the enemy, the sweet aroma in the air would be a fragrance of life to them. A fragrance of victory. It would signal to them that a great and triumphant feast was about to begin. But after the soldiers and the servants came the conquered. Came those who were of the enemy forces, those who had been taken captive. And the fragrance meant something entirely different to them. They would march in chains, humiliated and defeated. And these people were the leaders and the conquered generals and the other soldiers who had been captured. And they would be led through the city until they reached the Roman capital, where some of them would be put to death. Now, to these prisoners in chains, following that conquering general in his chariot, the fragrance of the incense, the fragrance of the flowers was the odor of death to them, because it signaled that they were doomed. It signaled that they were defeated. It signaled that some of them were going to die. But to those who were part of the conquering army and those who were of the citizens of Rome, oh, the incense, the flowers, the fragrance that filled the air was the aroma of life. It was the aroma of triumph. It was the aroma of victory. Now, Paul has this same scene in mind as he shares these words, and he talks here about the faithfulness of God, that in the midst of his trials, that God is always leading him to victory, always leading him to triumph, and that the fragrance of Christ is manifested through his life and in his ministry and as he shares the gospel. But it wasn't just the sharing of the gospel, but it was the sharing of his life. As Paul shared his life with those he came in contact with, what they were seeing, what they were experiencing, the fragrance that was coming forth from him, even in those times when Paul was being pressed, was the fragrance of Jesus. Just like those flowers, those rose petals on the floor, the road that they walked upon as they were stepped on and crushed. When Paul was in these times of being pressed and crushed in his trials, the fragrance of Christ was being manifested. When he was being stepped on, when he was being maligned, it was the fragrance of Christ that was coming out of his life. And the same thing holds true for us. We all have the potential to be the fragrance of Christ to those that we come in contact with. We all have that potential to those who are believers, or as Paul says here, to those who are being saved. Oh, we have the potential to be the aroma of life to them. To those who are perishing, to those who are unbelievers, the aroma of death. Now, why does Paul make this distinction? Why this contrast? Why doesn't he describe us as being the aroma of life to those who are perishing, to those who are unbelievers? I think the answer is very simple. I think it's found in the word conviction. You see, in John chapter 3, Jesus gives us a similar illustration says a similar thing in using the illustration of light and darkness. Keep your place here. Turn over to John chapter 3 with me. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, Jesus has his famous encounter with Nicodemus, the great religious leader. And Jesus is sharing with him things here concerning the kingdom of God. And Jesus says this in verse 18 to Nicodemus. He who believes in him, he who believes in Jesus, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Now notice what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And because their deeds are evil, they hate the light, Jesus says, because when the light comes there into the darkness, what does it do? It exposes their evil deeds. Well, here's the thing. Here's the application. When you as a Christian are in love with Jesus Christ and you are desiring to walk in holiness and to walk in righteousness, and you have a desire to just really please God, And you come around those who are living in darkness, those who are practicing sin and rebellion. It's going to be uncomfortable for them to have you around because your love for God and your righteous conduct only exposes their sin and their evil deeds all the more. So to the unbeliever, the person living in sin, the fragrance of Christ in your life is going to be the aroma of death to them. They're not going to like it because it's going to just, you know, expose the sin that they're in. Think of it in this way. Those who are living in rebellion against God, those who are unbelievers, are living, let's say, in the cow pasture. They're living around the pile of manure. Now, they've become quite used to living in that environment. They've become quite used to living and kind of content living around that, so much so that they don't even notice the aroma anymore. They don't even notice the smell of the manure pile anymore. But you know this? That the fragrance of the cow pasture doesn't mix well with sweet perfume. In fact, you could take a great big bottle of perfume and pour it upon the pile of manure, and it is not going to enhance the smell at all. In fact, it's going to make it smell worse, a lot worse. The only way the person living in the cow pasture is going to appreciate the smell of the sweet perfume is that you have to take them out of the cow pasture. When I was in junior high school, I played basketball for our school in eighth grade. And there was one particular game. I remember this well. We were playing there in the gym and it was hot and I was playing hard and I was just sweating profusely. And after the game, we went there into the locker room and I was really in a hurry. I had to be somewhere. So I decided that I wasn't going to shower. That what I was going to do was I would just put on some cologne. I thought, you know, that'll do the trick. So I got my Old Spice out of my you know, locker room, and I splashed on a little bit extra, you know, put on my clothes and went on my way. It didn't help. It made matters worse. It was the aroma of death emanating, you know, from my life. You see, when a person needs a shower, all the perfume or cologne in the world is only going to make matters worse. But when someone has showered and is clean, oh, a little perfume, a little cologne can go a long way to enhance their attractiveness. And so too, when someone has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and cleansed from their sin, and they're living there in the light of the Lord, walking with the Lord, living for the Lord, they are bearing forth the fragrance of Christ. And when they come around other believers who have been washed and cleansed and are living for the Lord, it's the fragrance of life. The fragrance of this person's life, Jesus, you know, just shining through them, and this person's life, Jesus shining through them, coming together. And it's this sweet smell. It's like mixing cinnamon and vanilla, and it's just this, you know, incredible fragrance. Oh, but when somebody is living in that place where they're living in sin, and you try to mix that aroma, it's a deadly thing. But when two people come together, when we gather like this and you look at the body of Christ and you see the Lord in each other, oh, it's the fragrance of life to one another because it's a reminder of what Christ has done. It's a reminder of what Christ can do in the life of a sinner saved by grace who surrenders their heart to Him. As we come together and as we mix and as we fellowship, it's the aroma of life because it reminds us of how great He is. In the same way, when the Roman general would come home and he, after the great victory, and he's marching through the city and the people are looking at him and the fragrance is there in the air and they look at the captives coming behind, it's a reminder. They say, look at what the general has done. Praise be to the general. We come together like this and it's a reminder of what Christ, it's a reminder of what General Jesus can do when a person surrenders his life to Jesus as King. But here's the question. How do we obtain the fragrance of Christ? And how do we emanate that fragrance of Christ? How does that come forth from our lives even when we find ourselves being pressed and being crushed? There's three things that I want to suggest to you that play a part in the fragrance of Christ coming forth from our lives. The first is found in John chapter 12. So if you turn over there with me, John chapter 12. We see here that the fragrance of Christ comes forth from our lives through worship. In John chapter 12, Jesus is with his disciples. They're in Bethany, at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they're sitting around the table. It's after supper. And it's here that Mary does something that is truly incredible. Notice verse 3. It says, "Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil." Now what we see here that Mary is doing is that this is a very costly act of worship on Mary's part. She takes this very costly oil of spikenard, this bottle of perfume, and many, many Bible commentators believe that this was her dowry. You see, in those days, a woman would give something of great value to her husband when they got married. And in those days, they didn't have banks like we have today where people would invest their money or put their wages. So what women would do is they would take, as they received, you know, maybe an inheritance, or as they received, money for work that they did, they would take it and they would put the value in perfumes and in fine oils. And they would keep that there in their house. And so Mary takes this great bottle of perfume, this oil of spikenard, which was possibly her dowry, and she breaks it open, and she comes and she pours it over Jesus. In an act of love, in an act of adoration, in an act of worship. In fact, if you read further, you see where Judas starts to object and say, you know, why this waste? This money could have been given to the poor. And the Lord rebukes Judas and says, you know, leave her alone. She's doing this for my burial. You see, Mary had this great insight. She understood what was about to happen to Jesus. And so because she loved him so much, because she wanted to bless him, because she was just walking in obedience to the Lord, she comes and opens up this perfume, pours it over Jesus in this great display of worship and affection. It was also a very humble display as she took and she wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. But something happened as she did that. As she, in that act of love and adoration and worship, was taking her hair and wiping the feet of Jesus, the oil and the fragrance that was upon Jesus that had filled the house was now upon her. So that everywhere that Mary went, the sheep were sure to follow. No, everywhere, just seeing if you're awake, everywhere that Mary went, she smelled like Jesus. She smelled like the Lord. The fragrance of the Lord was upon her through that act of worship. Judson Cornwell said this, "Worship helps us find who we are and why God has placed us here on the earth. When we bow in God's presence with worship, only then are we made complete." As we come to that place in bowing ourselves in humble and heartfelt adoration to the Lord, to wash his feet, to wipe it with our hair, as we do that, as we come into that place, it's there that we are becoming complete. Why? Because we are doing really the purpose why God created us in the first place. He made us for worship. He made us for fellowship. And we, as we do that, become more like Jesus. That's why we're becoming complete. Now, Paul was a worshiper. It's hard to not read the epistles of Paul, to read his letters, and not see that he was a man who was awestruck with God. He was a man who was in awe of God. He's constantly describing the Lord with terms like exceedingly great and unsearchable and uncomprehensible and abounding and unfathomable. Paul was a man whose heart had been stricken, smitten by the grace of God. Paul was a man whose heart had been touched so deeply by the love of God. The love of God had captured his heart. Paul was a man who was enthralled with the Lord. Friday morning, I went down to the beach. I just needed to spend some time, get alone, get away with the Lord. So I went down to the beach and I'm sitting there. It was early in the morning. I was reading my Bible and just praying, just kind of crying out to the Lord. And I witnessed an amazing thing. Maybe you've seen this before. There was a flock of pelicans that were flying out there about 200 yards out. They obviously had found a school of fish. And so as they were flying, you know, they overhead, and I don't know, they're maybe about 10 or 15, 20 feet above the water, and they're looking for fish. And once they eyed their target, all of a sudden they would dive bomb. I mean, it was reckless abandonment, just head first, you know, straight down into the water. They would plunge through and they would come up with their fish. And I sat there and I watched this pelican after pelican for 10 or 20 minutes just dive bombing, crash, boom, into the water. And I thought, you know what? Life is a lot like that. That's how we are. We go through life, we eye a target, something that we want, and then with reckless abandonment, we go for that thing. We eye the target and then we give ourselves to it with everything that we have, with every ounce of energy that is within us. Now here's the thing, Paul did the same thing, but the target that Paul had his eye on was Jesus. The target that Paul had his eye on was Jesus Christ, and with reckless abandonment, Paul gave himself to knowing Christ and drawing near to Christ. And so that all that Paul wanted and all that he sought after, laying aside everything else, he wanted Christ, to know Christ and to be known by Christ and to be apprehended and to know what Christ had apprehended him for. And so with that reckless abandonment, Paul gave himself to go after that target. I ask you this morning, what's the target that your eye is upon? What are you giving yourself to with reckless abandonment? What are you pursuing after? It was William Temple who said, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, and to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God." And as we do that, as we give ourselves to the Lord in that way, we capture, we come forth from that time with a bit of the fragrance of Christ there upon our life, emanating from our life, so that where we go that day, we're taking Christ with us. His fragrance is upon us. So the first thing that is going to cause our lives to bear forth the fragrance of Christ is the degree to which we are drawing near to Him in worship. The second thing that allows us to bear the fragrance of Christ is as we dig in to the Lord's Word. As we bathe in the Scriptures. Jesus said this in John 15, verse 3. "You are clean," speaking to His disciples, "you are clean because of the Word that I have spoken to you." Listen, as we get into the Word, the life of the Lord is transfused to our life through His Word. As we get into the Word, as we bathe in the Word of God, it's like the Lord just pouring the water of Himself over us constantly. You ever smell a baby after it's, you know, taken a bath and you've washed its, you know, hair with baby shampoo, and you pull it up out of the bath and you hold that child close, and that is just one of the most wonderful smell. A fresh, clean baby and baby shampoo. It's that fresh, clean type of smell. Well, that's what the Lord does with us. When we bathe in His Word, we come forth from that time smelling like Him. As He pours Himself upon us. Now, I want you to hear this. I'm not just talking about reading. I'm not just talking about reading the Word. I'm talking about bathing in it, soaking in it, getting into it and allowing it to get into you, meditating upon it, chewing upon the Word, pondering it. That's a lost art today in the church. There are so many believers in Jesus Christ that never, ever go to any type of source of depth like that in their relationship with the Lord. And we've become way too accustomed to, you know, the morning devotionals. And I have no problem with those things. Not at all. I think they have their place. I think they can be useful. But if your time with the Lord is only that of, you know, 10 or 15 or 5 minutes or 2 minutes as you read your little devotional, your Oswald Chambers, and then kind of, you know, go on your way. You know what that's like? That's like, you know, taking a sponge bath all the time and not really bathing. You know, when I had my surgery and I was, I couldn't shower for a couple weeks, so I had to sponge bathe all the time. And you know, you just never really feel clean. And you never, ever smell fresh at all. When they finally said, okay, you can shower, it was like, praise the Lord, you know. I just felt horrible. Well, that's what those type of things can be like. It's like the sponge bath. It has its place. You know, if that's all you can do at that particular day, great. Please do it, you know, type of a thing. But there's something else. There's something much more special about taking time to bathe in the Word of God. To allow the Lord to just pour Himself over you and into you as you sit there and reflect upon the Word. And chew upon the Word. And draw near to the Lord in that type of way. You come forth from that, emanating the fragrance of Christ. It's like what we read of Peter and John in Acts 4 or 5, where it says, when they were arrested and interrogated by the religious leaders, they could tell that they were untrained and uneducated men, but they could also tell that they had been with Jesus. Now I ask you this question. Who can people tell that you've been with? Jay Leno? Letterman? Oprah or Dr. Phil? Fortune magazine? Who is it that the romance novel? Who is it that people, as they look at your life, they can tell where you've been and who you have been with? As we bathe in the Word of God, we come forth from those times just emanating the fragrance of Christ. It's seen in our attitude. It's seen in our mindset. It's seen in how we handle situations where before, you know, it was maybe handled in the energy or the intuition or of our flesh, the energy of our flesh. But now all of a sudden, we're handling it in a completely different way, a very Christ-like type of way. Why? Because the Lord has met us and the Lord is manifesting Himself through us. So the fragrance of Christ comes forth from our lives as we give ourselves in reckless abandonment to worshiping the Lord. As we give ourselves to bathing there in His Word. And thirdly and finally, as we seek to walk in obedience. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us." Now, catch this last part. "An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Jesus lived a life of obedience to His Heavenly Father. Jesus walked in love. And His life of obedience, His life and His desire simply to please His Heavenly Father, to follow the purpose for which He was sent, to live a life that would bless His Father who was in heaven, that life of obedience that Jesus lived was like a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And Paul exhorts us to be imitators of God as dear children. In other words, he wants us to be imitators, to live like Christ with that same type of mindset. Now, what does that phrase, "as dear children," mean? Well, have you ever seen a child who really, really loves his father? A little boy who just, you know, thinks that his dad walks on water, you know, that his dad's the best. What does that boy do? Well, if his dad, you know, stands with, you know, one hand in his pocket and one hand on his waist, so that's how the little boy stands. If dad stands like this, you know, that's how the little boy is. He wants to be just like his dad. He says the things that his dad does. He combs his hair, you know, the way that his dad does. He wants to shave like his dad does. He watches him there, you know, in the mirror. He wants to be just like dad because he loves him so much. That's the idea here. Paul's saying, as dear children who love God, who's been captured by the love of God for what He did for you in sending His Son, because you love Him so much, seek to imitate Him. Seek to live a life like Jesus did, of obedience, pleasing the Father, making that your passion, making that your goal. And as you do, just as Jesus' life of obedience was a sweet-smelling aroma to the Heavenly Father, so your life will be as well. Your life will have that same type of impact. But if there's sin in our life, if there's rebellion in our life, it gives off an odor that is disgusting to God. It gives off an odor that until it's dealt with keeps us from His presence. There's a need to be cleansed. There's a need to get right. And then and only then can that fragrance of Christ be manifested through us. Paul walked in each one of these things. He was a worshiper. He was a man who was given to the Word. He was a man who sought to live a life of obedience. Now, it wasn't that he was perfect, not at all. He failed just like we do. He had his moments and his areas of struggle just like we do. But the purpose and intent of his heart was to please God above pleasing himself. And because of that, his life was a sweet aroma to the Lord. In fact, in Acts chapter 11, read it later, but when Paul and Barnabas are ministering there in the city of Antioch, they've been ministering for a year. They're in that place, interacting with people, sharing the gospel, sharing their lives, giving of themselves, despite the opposition that was coming in. It says there, in connection with their ministry, that it was then that the believers first started to be called Christians. What does that say? As people looked at Paul and Barnabas, as they looked at their ministry, as they watched their lives, it was the fragrance of Christ coming forth from them. And they said, these guys remind us of Jesus. The fragrance of Christ coming forth from their life. And even in the times of suffering, when Paul was crushed, when he was being pressed like the rose petal on the foot of one of those soldiers, it was the fragrance of Christ that was emanating from his life. Now, I ask you this question in closing. What fragrance comes forth from your life when you are pressed? That will be determined. That will depend upon the degree that to which you are a worshiper of Jesus Christ. That will depend upon the degree to which you are bathing yourself in the Word of God. That will depend upon the degree to which you are desiring, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God that He's made available to you, that you are seeking to walk in obedience. Oh, the Lord is always there seeking to lead us into victory. In every situation, His grace is sufficient. His power is available to meet us, even in that desperate and difficult time. So that what comes forth from us is not the fragrance of Rob, not the fragrance of whoever you are, but the fragrance of Jesus living in you. And that's our need. That's our desire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have sent your Son. You've given him as a gift to each one of us. And Lord, we thank you that you have made possible in every situation victory to be available to each one of us as we would allow you to lead us in Christ. And Lord, our desire today is that our lives would be emanating this week the fragrance of Jesus. And so, Lord, we want to give ourselves in reckless abandonment to worship you. We want to give ourselves, Lord, time to bathe in your Word. And Lord, we want to make it our aim to walk in obedience. Fulfill, Lord, your way in us as we surrender ourselves to you this day, this moment, this week. In Jesus' name, amen.